morning, Bray. You've had plenty of great times in racing, but fair to say the last 24 hours have been some of the more darker periods when you woke to find out that Very Elegant's unlikely to get a run in the Arc, and also you've lost your number one seed in the Melbourne Cup. I suppose this makes the wins in Group 1 races more sweeter when you have these bad days as well.
I was hoping this was going to be an interview about Hinged in the episode, and we're going to disregard the last 24 hours. No, you're exactly right, Michael. Unfortunately, that's part and parcel of racing. You know, the trials and tribulations, and, you know, it just has to, you know, steal your resolve, and you've got to be resilient in this game or you just won't last. So, yes, you've got to put it in context. I've had plenty of good fortune, but the last 24 hours have been rather forgettable.
We will get to Hinged, I promise. But just on Spanish Mission, first of all, is his career now most likely over, do you think?
You'd think so. I mean, we're obviously going to get it scanned and, you know, get a clinical opinion and prognosis. But he's a seven-year-old, and you'd think that's at least 12 months out. And, you know, the likelihood of him returning to his peak would be rather remote. And, you know, you have to also take into account what's best for the horse. And the other factor to consider is the horse is a stallion, and there has been some interest, particularly from Ireland, in standing a horse of his profile. So he may yet find a home for him at stud. But at the moment, we're just waiting for that prognosis. But I'd have to say it's highly unlikely we'll see Spanish Remission race again. And he was just going so well, and Moods was just so buoyant about him and his prospects. And, you know, we were thinking he was going to run in the Bar Cummings, have a flashing red light on him, and, you know, be one of the major chances in the Melbourne Cup this year. And it's gut-wrenching, not just for myself, but for all the other owners associated with this horse, that we're just not going to see him in the race.
Well, he was so gallant last year, wasn't he? And he was the top weight for this year's Lexus Melbourne Cup, and unfortunately we won't see Spanish Mission. We're all hopeful we'll get to see Very Elegant this weekend over in France. From your perspective as one of the major owners, what's occurred? It seems rather bizarre sitting over here that a horse of her calibre will be balloted out of the Arc, and it seems there's a little-known two-run rule over there which has caused all of the issue, where if she'd only had one start, her Australian rating would have been used and she would have been guaranteed a run. But because she's had two, her French rating is what is now the mark that she is, I suppose, judged upon. And it means that she's unlikely to run. What's the latest?
Well, it certainly wasn't anything that we had even countenanced in terms of the prospect of her not making the race. Frances Graffard, who's obviously a lot more experienced in placing the horses and the French racing protocols, hadn't even considered it himself. And, you know, we made the decision on Monday, and, you know, we thought it was our decision to make whether we run or not. And then 72 hours later, it appears the decision may be made for us. So it's very perverse to think that an 11-time Group 1 winner would be balloted out, and very difficult for us to stomach. You know, you look at a horse like El Hakim, who resides above us in the classifications, and he's won one Group 2 race in a six-horse field. And he'll make an R field, an 11-time Group 1 winner and Melbourne Cup winner, does it. Yeah, at the moment, I don't want to, you know, be too emotive about this. And, you know, I have to accept the jury's verdict. And the bottom line is, you race in another jurisdiction, you have to accept their rules. But these are, you know, this was something we were completely oblivious to. And at the moment, where it stands, it looks like we may well miss out on a run.
So she's 22 in order of entry. They're only going to run 20. And they, France Gallup put out a statement overnight saying that the race conditions are limited to a number of 20 runners, and that is the limit that will be retained. If need be, elimination or balloting procedures are as follows. Runners with the lowest rating will be eliminated sequentially. The rating is decided by France Gallup handicappers, and her current rating is 113, which places her 22 in order. So If she'd only had one start, though, Bray, it would have been her Australian rating, which would have comfortably had her in the field. So was Francis aware of the two-start rating rule?
No, he wasn't. And to be honest, we had to give her two runs to get her right and to get her at a peak. So it wouldn't have changed anything with regard to programming. And if you recall, we actually intended on having three runs and we missed that mile race first up and went straight to the mile and a quarter. So it wouldn't have had any bearing on our decision. And the other thing is, if you look at recent history in the ARC, it hasn't been a capacity field for 5 or 6 years. And there was nothing a couple of weeks ago to suggest it would be. But with the improving weather forecast and Bayeed heading towards the champions, all of a sudden everyone was clamouring to run in the race. The field size now looks like it will be a capacity field. So no one could have foreseen it in terms of, you know, I can't put any sort of responsibility on Francis's shoulders. It's just one of those things that we're now faced with. And racing has a habit of surprising you. And this is, you know, a very rude shock for us. And like I said, we'll know in the next 24 hours, but it's not looking particularly promising.
What is that deadline?
I believe it's 11:30 a.m. French time is when final declarations are made. The tricky thing for us, and this is another factor that we need to take into account, is if we're not going to run in the ARC, we'll run in the mile and a half Prix de Royale, Phillies and Mares Group 1 on the Saturday. But we can't accept to both races. So we need to make a decision prior to final field as to whether we chance our arm and hope like hell a couple above us don't accept, or we take our medicine and accept for the mile and a half fillies and mares race. But could you imagine if we do that and then by some miracle we would have made the ARC field. So we're also hoping perhaps they'll give us dispensation to accept for both races, so we're not faced with that sort of vexatious problem.
Are they? Sometimes the French aren't that helpful, are they? Are they?
No, Michael. I mean, I woke up thinking perhaps this is their revenge for the nuclear sub deal. They've been waiting for the opportunity, but it doesn't do bilateral relations any favours with this sort of behaviour.
Do they have...
But they are pretty implacable, the French.
Will they have emergencies in the ARC? Because there is rain predicted on Sunday. No emergencies.
No,
right.
Another frustrating aspect, they don't. Because that's the problem. I think, you know, invariably, even horses that perhaps may not run by virtue of the track conditions, they'll still accept. And if they're scratched, that doesn't help our cause one iota. So it's like everything is a perfect storm against us at the moment.
So you're in the middle of packing your bags. We had thought you'd taken off yesterday, but maybe a little silver lining is that you and Mark Zara are due to leave tomorrow. So Mark's got a quandary as well, because he doesn't want to just go over there for frequent flyer points. He wants to at least have a ride. So what's Mark's position at this point in time?
I just spoke with Mark, and Mark obviously gave up his commitments on Turnbull Stakes Day, and it's too late in the piece for him to really get any rides of any quality. And understandably, Mark wants to still go over there irrespective, because it's still an opportunity for him to ride very elegant in a Group 1 race. Everything's booked and in place, and I completely understand why he'd want to go over. And from our perspective, you know, it's great. We still get to have Mark ride, even if it is in the alternate race on the Saturday. So it looks like, irrespective of which race she runs in, Mark will be aboard. For me personally, I need to sort of think about it and make a decision. I've got a business to run, so I can't be gallivanting around the world every second weekend, and there's still the prospect that she can run on Champions Day. I haven't yet worked out what I do in the instance that she doesn't get to the ARC. But it's certainly thrown everything into disarray.
So what's your gut feel right now? Will you chance your arm and maybe risk not having a run, or will you play the percentages and bypass the ARC and run in the Group 1 on Saturday?
I'll wait. I think I have to make a fully informed decision, and the later I can wait, the better. So obviously it's the middle of the night at the moment in Europe. I'll be speaking to Francis Graffard first thing in the morning, getting as much intel as possible on each and every horse above us, and then we'll make a decision later today.
Well, as you mentioned, there is a silver lining because you do have the second favourite in the Epsom with Hinged in Sydney on Saturday. And looking at the forecast, I think you're going to get your favourite wet conditions with her. And, gee, she gets in well, 51.5 on Saturday.
Yep, she's thrown in at the weights. She's in fantastic fettle. As you well know, I've been talking her up, all preparation. Both runs this time in, I think, have been outstanding. And now she gets back to handicap conditions in the suitable Randwick Mile, like you said, on wet ground. So everything's in her favour. She's going to run a hell of a race on Saturday. I've got a lot of respect for the opposition. But I think this is, going to be her best opportunity this spring to claim a Group 1. You talk about Ice Bath obviously being deserved of winning her first Group 1. Well, I'd argue Hinge is just as deserved as winning her second Group 1 after a run of, I think, four placings at Group 1 level since she won the surround. So she's definitely due, and hopeful Saturday is the day.
If she does win, we know that she was really competitive over longer distances, a three-year-old. Would you look at a Caulfield Cup, or would you maybe be eyeing a berth in a Cox Plate?
Cox Plate.
Yep.
I think it's just too big a challenge for her to go from a mile to a mile and a half. And we know that Waller always tries to sort of protect these four-year-old mares in their spring campaign. And I think you'll feel like we're asking her to do too much to go from a mile straight to a mile and a half, even though I do think that she will stay the trip. But the Cox Plate looks an ideal race for her. I mean, the bottom line is she finished a length and a half from the nominal favourite Animo, and she's definitely better suited over a mile and a quarter. So provided she performs well in the Epsom, we'll definitely be looking to forge ahead and run her in a Cox Plate.
You did have a pretty good weekend last weekend as well, though, because you are a part owner of Cool and Gadda, who won the Moyer on Friday night. And I know there's a lot of desperate slot holders eagerly trying to snap up any sprinter in form, but would it be better for her to go to a Manicato rather than race against the big guns in an Everest? Have you made a call there?
I'm not sure any decision's been made, and I certainly know there were some slot holders circling, but I think the general consensus is that she's better suited staying in Melbourne and running in a Manicato. I think the way the Manicato's generally run and the nature of the Mini Valley track really suits her. I think a really hard run, 1,200 metres at Randwick against the likes of Nature Strip and Eduardo, at this stage of her career, is probably a bridge too far. So I think we'd like to sort of protect her. I know that we really genuinely believe that the horse has a lot of furnishing to do. And, potentially she's the sort of horse that could come back and run in Everest as a four-year-old mare. But I think it's a little bit premature for her to take a place in the race this year. So I think Kieran and Dave would want to focus on the Manicato, and it's the right move.
Well, Bray, we've all got our fingers crossed that there can be some miracle over in France, and that Very Elegant can find her way into the Arc Field, because it would be just so exciting to see an Aussie / New Zealand horse competing over there on Sunday. But if not, hopefully we'll see her in the Group 1 on Saturday. Best of luck over the next 24 hours. We'll keep in contact.
Thanks so much, Michael. I'll keep you informed as information comes to hand.